Hello, everybody. So I'm actually recording a live episode of my podcast. I'm actually recording it live on TikTok. It's the first live I've ever done on TikTok, so that's always fun. But I am recording this podcast live as well with my screen, with my mic. So this is a live version of the Way I See It podcast. You can subscribe to my podcast via the links in my Instagram bio if you're watching on TikTok. But this week's podcast episode, I want to talk a little bit about my money story. I also want to talk a little bit about your money story and how to change it. So if your financial experience right now, if the life you are living with money right now does not feel aligned, then my job tonight is to hopefully give you some top tips on how to change that, on how to shift that, and ultimately how to change your experience with money so that you can live life differently. So talk a little bit about my money story first. And obviously, I save the depths of this detail for inside my programs, inside my coaching, and my courses. But I'm going to give you a quick rundown of kind of like where I started and where I am now. And what I always love to say first to people is, I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm not sat in Costa Rica sipping cocktails 24/7, right? I haven't made my first million. So I'm not talking to you from that perspective, but I am somebody who's been making multi six figures since 2019, self-employed, doing life on my terms, living life flexibly, comfortably, and having a good time. And so I've learned a shed ton of stuff over the kind of almost 9 years, no, 8 years this summer, since I've been self-employed, about manifesting money, about growth, about wealth. So everything from practical tips to emotional tips to why our energy is a big part of manifestation and why our energy is a big part of our experience in any area of life. So whether that is your kind of your body, your business, your relationships, like how you are feeling, your emotions and your energy is the reason that area of life is the way it is, not just the practical things, not just what you do or why you do it. So I like my life started out actually, and when I was very young, my parents had fuck all money. Like, that's the only way to describe it. You know, my mum tells stories of when the neighbors bought us a Christmas dinner 1 year, like, and it makes me sad even to think about it now. But the truth is, that's a reality and experience that a lot of people have. You know, my parents were in a cost of living crisis, you know, at a time when I'm 36 now. So I imagine I was, you know, 35, 36 years ago. My parents were financially really struggling. I was a surprise baby. I rocked up in a world where, you know, mum had one of her first teaching jobs. Dad had just gone self-employed or was just about to go self-employed. And so my parents just were not expecting, you know, they were just about getting by, let alone then adding a baby into the mix. And then as a couple of years later, my sister was then born. And so life became pretty expensive. Any parents out there, I'm not a parent, but I know any parents out there will tell you that kids cost money, right? And so I very much remember my kind of formative early years were very much about budgeting, about how there was never enough. You know, there would be a, and look, some of these things are practical, great, useful tips, guys. And this is the king. With money, it's always about the context, not about the actual event. So when it came to money, you know, my mum would always write a very clear shopping list. You know, I remember the blue and white labels. Like, that was my life experience. So I didn't know any different. I just thought that's how things were. It was only really when I remember there was a whole thing with some school shoes where I really didn't like the school shoes my mum had bought me. And even though I tried loads on and stuff, she was like, you need to get these ones. And I didn't really understand why. I was like, why can't I get these ones? I was maybe six or seven, guys, like super young. In fact, maybe even younger based on the classroom I remember being wearing these shoes. Does that make sense? And so I'd be getting these shoes, school shoes, and her saying to me, no, you can't get those ones because, and I don't think she ever said we can't afford it. She just said, you're going to get these ones. And I felt so much embarrassment. I mean, now you can wear whatever the fuck you like and every, you know, you're just alternative. But like, I was wearing these school shoes and they were clunky and they weren't very pretty. And I was a very feminine little girl. You know, I loved bows and sparkly things. And, you know, so for me, being given these school shoes that were like clunky and square. And you know what I actually did? I don't know if I've ever even told anyone this, that because I was so embarrassed by my school shoes, I was so embarrassed by how they looked, that I actually had a pair of jelly shoes that I loved. And what I would do is at school, I would walk to school in my school shoes, put my jelly shoes on, and play in my jelly shoes all day at school, and then put my school shoes on to walk home because I was so embarrassed. And so I think this is when, on a nervous system level, I knew that money was a thing, or not a thing, if you see what I mean. Like, I knew that we didn't have a lot. You know, I never went on the school trips. I never had the things. There was, you know, everything I owned was secondhand or from. And the thing is, we were happy. We had what we needed, right? We had a home, we had food. And But it's not about what you, whether or not I had experience as a child. And this is what most people don't understand. They're like, well, you had a roof over your head, be grateful. Or when your mum says, finish your dinner because there's starving kids in Africa. I'm like, there are starving kids in Africa, but me finishing my dinner has nothing to do with it. What they're actually trying to say is focus on the gratitude and more will come. But they didn't intellectually understand that at the time. But the challenge is when young children grow up in an environment, and I know this now, right? Grow up in an environment that is financially in lack, that financially is struggling, that financially isn't where the parents feel safe and comfortable. And let's say the parents are under a lot of financial stress, where that environment happens, the children absorb that stress and they absorb that energy on a nervous system level. So it's not about what they do or don't have. Often, sometimes they'll, like you say, they'll have, there'll be, a, like I've said, there's like, you know, an odd memory that they have that cognitively know that they know there wasn't enough, but emotionally they don't understand that into, you know, it's not a, we don't have enough and therefore I can't be enough. It happens on a nervous system level that we don't feel good enough because we didn't get what we wanted, or that we, you know, we know we're different or separate from other children because we don't have what they have, or, you know, they've got night trainers and we haven't. And so there were lots of experiences like that in my early years because factually my parents just didn't have the money. And then that continued until kind of my early teen years. And when I was that person, I was like, I want my money. I want the freedom. I got a job as early as I could physically get one. I think I was 14. I had a Saturday job. I was also waitressing. You know, I've got work ethic. I've always had that. You know, my parent, like I said, my dad was self-employed. So I very much knew that work ethic was required. And, you know, I've had to massively heal from hustle culture over the last couple of years and that constant insatiable need to work. But very much that I wanted to find a way to make my own money as early as possible. So 14, I had, you know, a couple of jobs, working as much as I could, saving, banking, babysitting, whatever I could do so that I had that flexibility in my own money to make my own choices. And this is really when I knew that freedom and choice was some of my high values, because of the fact that I was willing to go out as a 14-year-old when I could have been, you know, just hanging out watching TV at weekends. I was willing to go out and work because I wanted that choice. So financially, that was just part of who I was. That was like that's who I was from a 14 kind of year old age. So then very much it was natural for me. But what was ironic was around this time when I was kind of earning my own money and stepping into like create my own money story. You know, I wanted a story different from my parents. I didn't want to not have enough. I didn't want to be in lack. I didn't want to have not have the things I wanted. So I very much from a young age, both in a mental and a nervous system level, knew that I wanted a different life than my parents had. You know, my parents were in very traditional jobs. But then what happened is, like I said, my dad had become self-employed. After kind of 8-9 years, his business did actually, maybe longer, about 10 years, his business did actually boom. And so what then happened is my life experience with money massively pivoted, because when I was around 15 financially, well, it was just a little bit before that. So maybe as I was kind of turning 14, getting a job, financially, my dad's business completely transformed. Financially, our lives were completely different. So we went from having no money and not enough to having so much money in abundance. And we went from living in kind of, you know, what I would class as a three up, three down, you know, kind of house in a little tiny village, to my dad extending that house, landscaping the garden. And again, the timelines might be off here, guys, because as a child, we don't remember things in linear order, right? But we went from to living in this massive house that my parents extended into. We then sold that house. We then moved to a house that was kind of like really cool and American and laid out, and it had a pool and it had, you know, loads of land and acreage. And so I went from somebody that had never had any money, that had always felt like I was never enough, to and having to earn my own money and not feeling like I had the freedom and choice because of finances, to then somebody who got a car for her 17th birthday, who then, you know, had the money because I was also working. But, you know, my parents, then there were holidays. And you know what's ironic is I actually at that point had developed so much independence. I didn't want to go on any holidays. I had a job from when I was 16, 17. So I actually never went on a family holiday again after the age of 17, like never again. In fact, my last holiday, God, I don't even remember when it was, maybe 16. So I never really enjoyed some of the things that came from their wealth and abundance. Obviously, being built a car for your 17th birthday is mega. I had a Peugeot 106 for anyone that's interested. I had a turquoise Peugeot 106 and I loved it. But getting a car, you know, I had, then there was money for driving lessons, and then there was just the freedom for things. And then I, when I wanted, made the decision, although I had a gap year and did work fully for my gap year and funded my travel trip around the world completely by myself, when I said I wanted to go to university, my parents said they could financially help me with some of the boarding. You know, I got I appealed for my student loans for as much as I could get, and my parents did help me out as much as they could. The challenge was around this time, then my dad's business took a little bit of a dip, and so then cash flow changed. They were in a much bigger house. You know, they'd up-leveled to their financial kind of goal, but actually there wasn't necessarily the foundations behind it. And this happens so much. We've all done it. You know, I've done this a few times in my business career where I've kind of stretched myself, but maybe didn't have the nervous system and the belief foundations behind or underneath that to support that financial decision. And so actually I had two choices there. One, if we make a decision and we're not ready for it, we just need to step the fuck up and meet it. But I didn't do that. And that was a mistake. You know, this was what happened in my parents' experience. So then in my early 20s, went off to university, came back, got a job, had my own money. And there was some definite kind of like rebellious streaks that came out in me in these early 20s. I racked up a few credit cards, paid them off, did it again, racked up a few more credit cards, paid them off, did it again. I obviously had a 30 plus thousand pound student loan, you know, which I actually paid off when I was 28, which I was very impressed with. Again, not for the reasons that you think, but just because I paid it off, because I actually had the moment where I, you know, phoned them up and said, right, I've paid this fucker off. So I went through this massive cycle in my 20s with money where money almost didn't seem like it was real. Like I just wanted the experience, or I wanted the holiday, or I wanted the trip. And what I used money for was very much to validate my need to create, my need to have freedom and choice. And so I kind of saw money, and now I understand that I have ADHD looking back. And I think I did it, like I talked about this on last week's podcast. You know, I think credit cards and loans and money that isn't actually like cash sat in your bank is a very different experience than with ADHD, because there's a lot of dopamine attached to spending that. And so that was really my experience, was that then I was kind of like, oh, fuck it. I lived a very fuck it life. You know, I had money for all the things I needed to, but I also then would overspend. And so then we feel like we don't have enough, right? Even if we earn a great salary, even if we keep a budget, even if we do these practical things, ultimately, if we're still living, you know, in an emotional state where we're seeking something or needing something, and we're kind of chasing that through buying things or through credit or through whatever, then ultimately we're always going to be overspending. And then that's actually going to keep us in lack. So it's kind of this vicious circle of, you can be in an abundant mindset, but the second that you cross your threshold for emotional, energetic and capacity around wealth, then you're in scarcity and then you're in lack. And so I didn't know any of this, right? I just thought this was all practical. And so I was then in a corporate job in events that I absolutely loved. You know, this is the time I was kind of like 20. How old am I now? Six, eight, yeah, I was 28 and 27, 28, you know, earning like 40 grand a year or something. And I had a little bit of debt, but I bought a house with my ex-husband. So I'd finally got myself on the property ladder. You know, I got my credit cards right down, but I also knew that earning a flat salary was never going to get me to the lifestyle I was actually seeking. I was never going to reach this like abundant life, earning a flat salary, 40K a year. I was probably never going to get the debt gone. I was probably never going to get the student loan gone. And if I did, it would be just like so slow over time. And anyone else with ADHD knows how impulsive and like the rush and the feeling and the energy. So I kind of sat down with myself. And because I'd had that experience with my dad, you know, being self-employed and obviously watching him not make money, but then also seeing him make a lot of money, I knew that going self-employed was probably the route that I needed to go, both to meet my need of freedom and choice and that kind of value I wanted to live by. But also, if I was going to make the kind of money I wanted to fucking make, I probably wasn't going to make it working for someone else. And if I was, I was going to have to work 100 hours a week to do that. So, or I was going to have to wait till I was like, you know, 40 or something to be respected in my industry. So I made the decision to walk away from corporate life and build multiple businesses. And by building multiple businesses, that gave me multiple income streams. So multiple income streams then gave me financial diversity, which meant I was never fully invested in just one thing. And why I think that was really fucking good at the, this is like 8 years ago, by the way. Why I think that was really fucking good is that I never got into a state of lack and scarcity around money because I had multiple ways the money could come. So there was a practical piece there of me being like, there's so many ways the money could come. It's going to come. You know, I remember my first goal after leaving my corporate job was to match my corporate salary. And actually, I think my goal was even less than that. It was to make £2,500 a month, because that would pay for everything. I mean, to think now that I could live my life on £2,500 a month, I'm like, I don't think I can even live for like a week on that. But it just shows you how life changes through time, right? Like how you up level what you're available for financially. So that was my first goal. And then I did that in my businesses in my first couple of months, which is amazing. Then to match my corporate salary, which I think I did in like my month four. And then it just grew from there. And then almost 2.5 to 3 years into my business, I crossed six figures, and I've made six figures and multi six figures ever since across my businesses. And my income streams have changed and diversified over time. I've had multiple limited companies and then condensed them. And then I've done lots of things as I wanted to be an entrepreneur. But I really believe the reason I've made the amount of money I have, no matter what has been happening in the world over the last 5 years, is because that is what I'm available for. That is what I believe is possible. That is the life I'm willing to live at. Now, that comes with perks and benefits. The perks of that being, I hold an energy and a safety of knowing all my bills will always be paid. Everything I ever need will always be paid for. Money will always come for the things that I need. Does that mean that sometimes there's always there's enough for a Louis Vuitton handbag every week? No, but that's also not what I desire. But there's not always loads and loads extra all the time. And so I know that's the piece that I'm still working on, is being in that overflow state and that energy state with money. Now, the way I like to describe this in my money course and in my masterclass actually, is energetic baselines and ceilings. So we have a baseline of what we're available to receive. And I often know that people receive the same amount of money month in, month out. And it's not just because you have a job, you could be self-employed, but there will always be a certain amount or a certain expectation that you will hit over and over and over and over, no matter where it comes from, whether it's a gift 1 month, clients the next month, rebates the next month, because that's what you're an energetic match for. That's what you're energetically available for. That's also the story that you're telling around who you believe you are. So your identity, what you think about, how you spend that money, your actions around that money, that puts you in that certain bracket, right? I'm not talking about social status. I'm talking about socioeconomic classes. I'm talking about you having an identity and a life experience at playing at that level. That's what you'll continue to play out. The same is said with your ceiling. There's an amount of money that you can't imagine earning more now. There's an amount of money that if I gave to you that would send you your nervous system into a spin. There's an amount of money that just wouldn't feel natural and normal to you. And that is your ceiling. And our job, if we want to change our money story and our financial experience, is to change the baseline and to change the ceiling. And the way that we do that is through changing the money story. So the words we say about money, the way we think about money, our identity with money, what we think is possible for us, who we believe we are, but also changing our energy and our nervous system around money. This is why I made the free masterclass. You can get the free masterclass at lucysuperfox.com/money masterclass. It's completely free. It's 45 minutes. It's the three, and you can listen to it in the car or whatever you want to do. It is the three rules that most people do not know around transforming their financial experience, around manifesting money, around receiving money. And when you master those three things, I promise you, you'll change your life, because they're not things you do once. They're things you do over and over and over and over. And that's where I'm at now is, I've reached a new ceiling, I've reached a new baseline that's been relatively, and I hate the word consistent, but it's been regular, it's been repeating, it's been showing up for me for nearly 8 months now. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the next level. But the work that I have to do is to change the story that I'm telling in my mind, to close the loop on any past negative experiences around money so that I can finally release that trauma, finally release those stories, finally let those go. And I've actually just done inside the actual money course, which is going on sale this Friday morning. So going on sale this Friday, the money course, I've actually just recorded a brand new module. I've not numbered it in order, but I've dropped it in after module one. So money and the nervous system. And I talk a lot about how a regulated nervous system, and if you're listening to my podcast, if you're a big, you listen to me regularly, I talk about this, how a regulated nervous system has more space, more growth, more capacity to hold money, to hold wealth, to hold abundance than a dysregulated one. And how alignment is when we're regulated in our nervous system and we've got clear thought processes and we've got clear feelings and we've got clear intention. And when those two things line up, as Joe Dispenza would say, a coherent heart and a coherent mind. And when those two things are lined up, that's called alignment. From alignment, we create massive energetic power, massive energetic capacity, and massive room and space to hold wealth. And so we need to be shifting all of these things if we want to change our experience with money. It isn't just get more clients, get a new job, do something different. The only reason I really believe when someone pivots and does something different practically is it's either how they were being led anyway. So they were on that journey and they were doing it in small ways. So what's called titration, so bit at a time, baby steps, and or because they changed their environment and they wrote a new fucking story. And when we change our environment, we change the story anyway. It's why often a lot of people will blame the relationship they were in before, or they'll blame the job they were in before. And look, sometimes people are wankers, right? But at the same time, often we are the common denominator, right? As the saying goes, wherever you go, you take you with you. And so actually the truth is that sometimes just because it's a new environment means we change the story. We tell a different story about who we are, what's possible for us, what we can create, because the environment is different. Not necessarily because the person is gone or the place is different, right? And so from a new environment, we create a new story. We're not being triggered because of past experiences there. And so therefore we tell a new story energetically, we tell a new story emotionally, we tell a new story cognitively, and from those new stories, we create new results, right? Not that that place was better paid. Actually, we were available for more because we stepped into our worth, realized that we wanted to get a new job. It paid us a bit more, but actually the reason we attracted the bonuses is because we worked harder, because we have more energetic capacity, because we were, you know, more free, more open, more ambitious, more excited, right? Do you see what I mean? So basically energy lines up with action. And when the two things come together, that's when the magic happens. Now, my money story now is in a situation, like I said, where I'm just ready to up level. I'm ready to go to that next financial level. My next financial goal is £25,000 a month. That's me being honest. You know, I hope I record a podcast for you in a year. And I'm like, hey, yep, cool, done that. Leveled that out. Let me tell you what I've learned. So my next goal is £25,000 a month. That's not a huge jump from where I am now. It's like a 20% jump from where I am now. So, and this is the thing. Sometimes you've got to work out how big you can jump. I was able to jump quite quickly from 3K a month to 6K a month. I went from 6K a month to about 9K a month. Then I stayed kind of around 9-10k a month for quite a long time, because that's 100 grand a year, right? 8.5 grand a month is 100 grand a year. 10k a month is also a big ceiling, and it's really common in the coaching industry to kind of fascinate or fixate on 10k a month. And then from there, it was kind of a steady increase over the last couple of years, and it was very steady, and I'd have months that went really up and then months that went a little bit under, but average over the whole year was kind of landing at that 15 kind of mark. So yeah, I just think it's always so interesting. And then obviously I've had, you know, bigger months in the last kind of 6 to 8 months as I've been doing this nervous system work, as I've been closing the loop. And I talk a lot about that inside the money course, about closing the loop on your past experiences so you can release the trauma, so that you can tell your nervous system it's safe, so that you can move forward, you can step into that new identity, you can become that new person. So your money story is dependent on whether or not you are doing the work internally, whether that's mentally, emotionally, and practically. Like, you can't spend like a dickhead, continue to, you know, blow money up the wall and then do all this money work. Like, absolutely, you can make abundant choices, you can be indulgent, you can do these things. But there's also an element of the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And if you are disrespecting money by buying things you don't even really care about, it's just an outward reflection of how you don't really respect yourself. And so no amount of like trying to like actually change that outward behavior is going to change your inner work, and vice versa. You've got to change the inner world to change the outer world. So I hope that makes sense. It made sense in my head. So I think if you were right now with that person and you're ready to change your money story, you're like, I'm sick of where I am. I want more. I want to change things. Guys, just get my free masterclass. It's freaking free. It's lucysuperfox.com/money masterclass. You can also get my free money meditation, my free money ebook at lucysuperfox.com/shop. And if you are like, okay, I've listened to all of that, I've got all your resources, I'm ready to move forward, I want to master money, I want to become a boss, I want to change my baseline, I want to change my ceiling, I want to master manifestation. And you guys know I share my 5 steps publicly all the time and why they work and why they're epic. And you want to master that stuff, the money course goes on sale on the 22nd of March, 2024. And you can access that at a 3-month payment plan too. And I will pop all the links below under the podcast in the show notes. If you're on TikTok, you can find all the links I've just talked about via my Instagram bio. And you can find the live podcast that I've just recorded by searching The Way I See It on your preferred podcast platform, or via the links in my Instagram bio. So thank you so much for joining me for this very live recorded podcast episode, my first live on TikTok at the same time. If you're not following me on TikTok, It's at Lucy Superfox. I'm a lifestyle and mindset coach. So you can jump over there for top tips around manifestation, healing, growth, and massively around authenticity. So I hope you have the most beautiful rest of Sunday night, and I'll see you on the next episode for those on my podcast.